Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Satlej Textiles and Industries Limited Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajeev Mukhopadhyay, Chief Financial Officer and Whole-time Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the earnings conference call for Satlej Textiles and Industries for the third quarter and nine months ended 31st December 2022. I hope all of you and your families are in good health. Joining me on the call today, Mr. Upjit Singh Chadha, President and CEO of Satlej Textiles and Industries Limited, and Stellar Advisors, our investor relationship team. We have already uploaded the investor presentation and hope everyone has had an opportunity to go through the same. Now let me take you through the financial highlights, after which I'll request Upjit to run you through the industry and business highlights for the quarter ended 31st December 2022. At the outset, let me state that the operating environment for our sector, like many others, continues to remain challenging. Weakening sentiments in the large economies on the back of inflationary pressures is causing demand for textiles and creating temporary imbalance in the value chain. In the face of these challenges, at Satlej, our expanding product portfolio, multi-market operations, fungible manufacturing, and long-standing customers have ensured that we continue to post encouraging results. I would like to highlight that last couple of years have been quite ironic for the textile sector. While FY22 was a phenomenal year for the sector, with companies reporting robust results, FY20 have been a far challenging year with volatility in input costs, muted demand. Hence, the comparison with corresponding previous year looks more magnified due to higher base effect. Now coming to the income statement, our consolidated total industry FY23 came in at rupees 670 crores, down by 19% on a year-on-year basis. The drop in sales was witnessed in both domestic and export market. For the nine months ended 31st December 2022, the consolidated sales were up by 6%, rupees 2,349 crores, led by realization and growth in both domestic and export markets. Gross profit for the quarter was down by 21% at 305 crores on a year-on-year basis. Period ended nine months ended December 2022, the gross margins witnessed improvement of 6% on year-on-year basis at 1,147 crores. For Q3 FY23, our EBITDA stood at 21 crores. That translates into an EBITDA margin of 3.12% as compared to 99 crores in Q3 FY22. At the net profit level, the company reported a loss of 16 crores for Q3 FY23 as against profit of rupees 37 crores corresponding previous quarter. On the balance sheet side, we have been consistently trying to maintain our debt equity ratio. Currently, our debt equity ratio is 0.72. During the nine months, our consolidated debt has reduced by 125 crores to 818 crores. Total term loan repayment for FY23 are around 125 crores, of which we have already repaid around 103 crores till December 2022. The balance will be paid in Q4 FY23. That's all from my side. I would now request Upjit to share the business outlook and industry scenario, and then we can open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajeev, and good afternoon to ladies and gentlemen, and thanks a lot for joining us on this earnings call today for Satlej Textiles and Industries Limited. Between this call and the last call, much change in business environment in general and textile industry sector in particular. After a buoyant first two quarters, textile industry faced headwinds riding on uncertain political situation, which resulted in volatility in raw material prices. On demand side, there had been pressure and it still is on especially from high consumption market of USA and Europe due to recessionary trends. We now live in an environment of inflation, looming recession. Consequent to all this, as I mentioned above, that is inflation, recessionary trends in USA and Europe, and unprecedented volatility in raw material prices, uncertainties have resulted in. This triggered low consumer confidence and a wait-and-watch approach by the buyers, who in turn kept textile and apparel at a lower ebb in 22 calendar year 22, especially in the second half. China, owing to its high manufacturing geopolitical shifts and preference for diversification in supply sources by leading brand retailers, ceded its share to. In India, textile and apparel exports declined in the second half and are likely to be about 8 to 10% lower in 22 calendar year as compared to 21. With revenue and margins for, started declining in Q2 of 23, and I think they came further down in Q3. The macro headwinds of inflationary and cost pressures, high and uncompetitive prices, and volatility in the raw material prices and resistance from the downstream companies, the recessionary concerns in the key markets have resulted in the contraction of almost about 11 to 11.5% of India's total T&A exports during the period April to December 22. Share of textiles and apparel for the total merchandise exports from India declined to 7.93% during April to December 22, from 9.78 in the previous year. Prices of cotton yarn have contracted and the peak levels from the peak levels of May 22. They continue to be around 15 to 20% higher than the past 5-year average and likely to keep moderating in the coming months. The overall impact is likely to be moderation of profitability and revenues of spinners as happening Q3 and may continue for another quarter. In terms of outlook, we still remain positive with these temporary disruptions and should, as these temporary disruptions should get resolved. The government is also making effort in terms of which is going to be long term in helping us to reduce export risk. And the one of the steps this is in signing of FTAs. Thank you. And I'm sorry there was some line disturbance. So coming to Satluj, as a multi-market diversified product company, our capacity utilization was not much impacted as the overall industry in spinning. While our inventory positions are currently higher than planned, we are constantly in touch with our distribution channels and customers and are confident of to pick up sales and rationalization of inventory in the coming quarters. For our home textile division, we continue to focus on bringing in fresh orders. Our biggest strength continues to be our fungible manufacturing facilities that are not only able to cater to domestic and export markets, but are also able to process and offer interchangeability between the cotton and man-made fiber. This diverse set of raw materials, we believe, helps us to de-risk our raw material cost as well. We believe that all these positives going for us, Satluj is well placed to continue its strong performance and add value to stakeholders. I now open the house for question and answers, which will be very pleased to answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Amit Agarwal. Please go ahead.
So good afternoon. So I have two questions. So one question is regarding yarn prices. So since China is opening up after COVID for last 15 days, so do you think it will affect yarn prices around the world? And my second question is regarding the debt level. Since there is a huge expansion coming up for the next 2-3 years, but our earnings per annum are not that much that they can fund the whole project. So do you think the debt level should increase from here in the next 2-3 years, since the markets around the world remain subdued because of the high interest rates? What is your opinion on both the cases? Thank you.
To answer your first question, because your first question was very, very clear to me, that is regarding, you say that the opening up of China, the prices of yarn, how yeah. this would go. See, Mr. Amit Agarwal, thank you very much for this question. See, with the opening up of China, we do see that the prices of fiber, today if you look at the prices of fiber, the delta between the raw material to the fiber is very low. And with the opening of China, Chinese market after the holidays, we feel that this might help to increase the demand as well. So as such, we see that the yarn prices, which are at present in the international market, may not be too much impacted. There will be a small impact, but not that much. So we don't see much threat from that.
Okay. And my second question is regarding...
Mr. Raghunath, I'm sorry to interrupt. May we request you to use your handset, sir? We are not able to understand your audio.
Okay. So my other question is regarding, since we have a huge expansion coming up in the next 2-3 years, that is around 900 crore project, projects coming up, but our per annum earnings are not that much. So do you think our debt level will increase in the next 2-3 years from the current level?
So what I understood from the question is that you want to know that whether the debt level is going to increase in the next 2-3 years, right?
Yes, because we have expansion around about 900 crore projects coming up.
So yes, the project is going to come up. Obviously, for that particular project, that term loan will come into the books. But overall operational working capital will be till, because this project will also, to come to commercialization, it will take 2 years. So the working capital level will be similar till that point of time. Yes, term loan will come into the books, that's for sure.
So the total debt will be increased from the current level, right? That means?
Yes, total term loan will increase from the current level.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Rahil Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi sir. Just wanted your outlook in terms of percentage-wise. How do you see the revenue growth happening for the next quarter as well as for the next year? And even your EBITDA margins, which have gone quite low. If you could provide a certain number you have in mind, which you will be able to achieve.
Thank you, Mr. Rahil Shah, for asking this question. You see, since the market is very, very volatile in terms of the raw material as well, and there is a lot of pressure on demand, we still feel that in the coming quarter, we should be able to better the top line as well. And so is the profitability. But it's very difficult to predict any number today. We all know the volatility in all raw materials and uncertainty on the geopolitical situation. To commit any number or to predict any number, it will be very, very difficult for us, even for the next 1 or 2 quarters, what to talk of a year. But we feel that this is a cycle and it will take some time to stabilize. I think 23 toward the second half should be good. That is my personal assessment.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. We have the next question from the line of Akshata Anchan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. My first question is on the cotton production, which is lower than it was expected for this year. So So will this have any impact on the cotton prices, or will it sustain from these levels?
And your second question?
So my second question is the current situation that is in Pakistan. So will that help in India in any way, or is India capable of delivering it to that extent from export point of view?
Yeah. So thanks, Akshita, for the questions. First, coming on the cotton production, we see that the cotton production, when we started the season, it was estimated by various agencies to the extent of almost 352-355 lakh bales, which now one of the agencies has estimated a production of almost 330.5 lakh bales. With these and some other trade quarters are still expecting a crop of 350 lakh bales. Now, with these production levels, I think the cotton prices should be stabilizing somewhere in the range, and they should be range-bound as these are today. We cannot expect the cotton prices to go to the levels what these were, say, in the year 2021. But we feel that they should be fairly stable in the 60s. So in terms with these cotton production, what we have today. Because internationally also, we see that in the U.S. also, the cotton production is going to be almost 14 million bales instead of 17 million bales. So internationally also, there is a pressure on the cotton prices. A pressure in the sense that they should be little higher. And the problem is not the higher or lower, the problem is the volatility in the cotton prices. And with the uncertainty in demand and macroeconomic factors, the IC cotton futures have remained range-bound and with increased volatility. The cotton futures, if you recall, declined sharply from their highs of $155.93 on 4th of May 2022 to the lowest of $72 on 1st of November 2022, but recovered. And today these stay at almost $0.8561 per pound, basis March 2023 as a month. So I feel that these prices would remain range-bound to firm. Now, the second question was on about the Pakistan. You see, with the situation in Pakistan, I mean, Pakistan is now also importing a lot of cotton because their crop got destroyed as well. And what the situation is, I think from India, we can take some advantage in terms of some of the home textiles and also the cotton coarser counts, because Pakistan has been producing mainly on the coarser counts. So I think India should stand to gain some out of this, and let us hope for the best.
Thank you, sir. We have the next question from the line of Vivek Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, with the freight rates reducing, will it have an impact on demand situation?
See, with the freight rates coming down, for example, in the U.S. market also, for example, that's one of the biggest consumption centers. With the freight rate coming down, the overall prices, yes, would come down, but at the same time, see, the recessionary trends, I mean, the overall demand being less, I think there will be some sort of rationalization, but at the same time, they would trade off. So the freight rate coming down may not impact that much because of the reducing demand or the pressure on the demand side. But definitely, it has little positive impact.
Okay, sir. So sir, my second question is, with China opening up, how will shape up for economy from textile perspective?
I think, Mr. Vivek Mehta, with the China opening up, we feel that, there would be a better prospect in terms of mainly the man-made fiber prices, if they can, little bit sustain and they increase the prices. I think overall, this would have a little positive impact in the overall scheme of things for the textile industry as well.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all.
Thank you. Participants, To ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sai. If you could just outline over the last 2-3 quarters and including now, how have spreads been both on the cotton side and the MMF side?
Spread on the cotton side and the MMF side. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gandhi, for asking this question. So I would say over the last one quarter, we have seen a lot of pressure on both the spreads. On the cotton side also, the spread has, today we see in our segment, because we are not into the gray yarn, we are into dyed melange yarns. The spread has been to the extent of almost, I would say, in the vicinity of 90s. And in case of synthetic, it had been in the vicinity of, say, 70 to 75.
Okay, and if you could let us know, for example, in Q2, how the spread was, in Q3, how the spread was, and currently what the spreads are looking
like. Q2, the spread was in the vicinity of, in case of cotton, in the vicinity of 120-125. Mm-hmm. And in synthetic, it was in the range of 90 to 95.
Got it. And in Q3, how would we look at it? And in the Q3, what was the range size?
Q3, this was down to almost 85-90 and 55-60 respectively. In that range, because there's a wide range of products.
And right now, how much would it be in?
We are almost the same, little bit higher.
Got it. And so effectively, from what I understand, some amount of cotton spread squeeze was effectively because of the Indian prices being higher than international. That has been repaired. But the rest of it, and the reason it is continuing, is because the demand is slow.
The majority of the reason is the demand in our sector, in our type of products. It is basically the demand at the stores, or I would say the consumer demand. There is a recessionary trend and US and Europe are the major markets. So it is basically the consumer demand which has impacted the spread, and also because of the falling prices of the raw material and the volatile prices rather. This has impacted the overall spread across over the quarter.
Got it. And then if we were to look at, let's say, look at the end of the day, this is up to an extent, commodity given how spreads have been volatile. But if we were to look at, let's say, like normalized spreads, what is it like normalized? This is actually spread then that we should be looking at.
I would say that normalized spread for cotton, for our type of product, should be in the range of 120 to 130, around that. And in case of synthetics, in our product category, it should be in the range of about 90 to 95, something like that.
Got it. So you're saying effectively, so if you were to look at it, the larger delta is in terms of the MMF, in terms of like right now we're at 55. But you're saying it should have normalized at 95. So spreads.
Depending on, of course, the product categories. For example, in some season we get the coarser count, in some season we get the finer count. So yes, you are right. Averagely that.
So higher pressure right now on MMF as opposed to actually like cotton, is it?
No, cotton there is no demand. So we have converted some spindle to MMF.
Okay, like cotton is demand issue and MMF demand is an issue, but spreads are low.
But that is as on today, so tomorrow could be different.
got it. But how? But is this volatility like? I mean, almost sort of weekly that we are seeing huge differences, or it's reasonably steady right now?
For example, say one day the crude price is such, it impacts your synthetic all the more.
Yeah.
So that is one.
We'd have right?
Pardon me?
We'd have some inventory hits also in Q3, right? Given a price
have come off of PTC?
Inventory hit in Q3.
Inventory hit, yes.
So, sir, can you quantify what the extent of the inventory it is?
I think our CFO can take it offline. I don't have the exact figure right now with me.
Okay, sure. And so, just to get your own perspective, where you will effectively think we will see this normalized when the orders for, let's say, the garmenters and home textile players, etc., started normalizing, that's when the demand will come back effectively, is the way we're looking at it.
That is what I feel so, but when it would be, I'm not in a position to comment on that because it will be very difficult. But I foresee that at least a quarter or so would take it, depending on the geopolitical situation.
And because of all of this pressure per se, are there other mills closing or not really?
See, we saw it in last quarter or so, I mean, certain percentage of spindle being closed. But luckily we did not need to, I mean, we never did that. So we have been utilizing our capacity to almost 94% or so as is being done in the tight yarns.
Got it. Understood. So I'll rejoin the queue for any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star 1 to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Mansingka from White Pine Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
A few questions. One, what would be the normalized EBITDA or your normalized EBITDA margins for 1995 cents for synthetic? How much EBITDA in rupees crore can you do because of that?
Normalized
EBITDA margin
for
10. I mean, normalized EBITDA margin should be in the range of about 12 to 14%.
No, in terms of rupees crore, I was asking.
I don't think I'll be able to give you any number of that offhand because it depends on the product as well.
The reason I was asking, sir, because we have done a 5% EBITDA, almost EBITDA approximately in margin term for the yarn. And so how much, so is it right to say that if the normalized EBITDA would be 12-13%, then you would have lost almost 7% of revenues in higher cost of inventory? And just an approximate number would do, understand.
So you mean to say that the reduction of EBITDA, whether what is the cause of this particular? Is this the question or something different?
Yes.
So it is partly contributed, obviously, by inventory, but not exactly that the whole 6% or 7%. What you just quantified.
Okay, if I just hop on that again, see if you have a yarn revenues of 620 crores or so, and 12% EBITDA would reach to 75 crores, right? But your entire reported of EBITDA is almost 15-16 crores. So there are 60 crores of delta on a total supposed to be EBITDA of 75 crores. So can you give some more thought, like it's not partial. Isn't it a meaningful impact of inventory or is it some other reason also that the EBITDA must be impacted?
I will tell you that this doesn't include only the synthetic. This includes the cotton also, which is also highly impacted.
True, but sir, your company is quite heavy on the non-cotton side, right?
Oh, I don't think so. We are 50-50.
Okay. And so then, if you assume there is no inventory loss, is it right to say that you would end up making a 12-13% EBITDA margin over the period of next 2-3 quarters?
If the market stabilizes and there is a demand, yes.
Okay. So second question was on the home textile. In the past, you had said that there has been utilization increase and possibilities, and because of which you see the EBITDA margin of this business improving. But the EBITDA of the home textile has not improved for some time now. So can you give more color on how do you see this business, or do you see this perpetually losing money, or do you see some improvement going forward?
Yeah, we do feel improvement going forward because we are increasing our presence in the export market, because that is one market which would really fetch us the profitability as well. If you look at our EBITDA in terms of I would say the absolute number has remained the same in terms of the EBITDA margin. However, the turnover has increased. So that means that we are a little bit improving on that, and I think we should be improving much more in the coming quarters. I mean, the next couple of quarters or three quarters, we should be improving. Next financial year should be good for our home textiles because we look a lot of traction in the exports.
So when you say the traction in exports, you see there's order in hand, or there's expectation that will increase the mode?
It's a long gestation order period because once you do your placements, it takes about 8 or 10 months for the orders coming in, for the business coming in. So we have a lot of placements which has happened over the last 6 months. So we expect a lot of repeat orders coming in the next financial year.
Okay. And so what was the utilization for this, the home textile business for the quarter?
For this quarter, for the processing, we have the utilization of almost 92% on the processing side. And on the home textile side, that is the weaving and other accessories, processes, we were in the range of about 53-55%, but we have been outsourcing a bit. So something which we are not making everything in-house, some embellishment and all that, we take it from outside. So that includes in the turnover. Although utilization of the machine per se could be lower, but our turnover has increased.
Okay. And sir, last on the Nestera, how has the pickup been in the domestic market?
See, Nestera, yes, we are coming up. I mean, people are recognizing the brand. Although we are not investing too much money as of now on the marketing, but still we see a lot of traction. We have our now product presence in almost now 500 stores across, and we have identified few segments which are high volume segments, and we have seen a lot of improvement over the last 6 months. On our cut, per day cuts. We have touched as high as almost 1200 meter as well. But, I mean, not on a very consistent basis, 1200, but averagely we have been at about 5 to 600 meters so far.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I will have a question in contention to the earlier participant. So if the demand stays where it is in terms of your volume, be it cotton blended or synthetic, can we still expect your margins to improve either on unit economics or in percentage terms? And if yes, how much is the kind of one-off in this quarter which is hiding the normalized margin? Because from 13%, 12-13% range to 5%, what is the normalized range of margins assuming the demand or your production stage where it is for one or two quarters?
I think we should be able to improve some margin, Mr. Chirag, and thank you very much for asking this question. If the demand remains the same, but lot will depend on the volatility of the raw material prices as well. Because it is one side is demand, the other side is on the raw material. So I think, still I feel confident that we should be able to better our margins from this quarter.
And so on the raw material side, would it be because the way you indicated, the volatility is behind and in a sense, you don't expect raw materials to fall further given the demand scenario and the expected output that we are looking at. So is it right to assume that the raw material basket has kind of bottomed out and it will stay in a narrow range of 10-15%?
I would say yes, but at the same time, I would not like to say with full confidence or commitment that it would remain so, because who imagined that cotton prices from one day, I mean in 3 days, would come from 64,000-65,000 to 57,000 and go back to 63,000 in 3 or 4 days time. So I feel that I still feel that depending on crude, the raw material in terms of man-made fiber is more or less should be stable, but cotton we don't we can't say too much on this. Although we say that it would range between 60 to 62, that's fine, but nobody can commit on that.
No, fair point, sir. That I understand and I fully accept that point. But we don't expect it to fall significantly from here. At least that is what the industry based assumption is, right?
Yeah, should be, yes. I tend to agree towards that, yeah.
So in that case, if there is no major one-off in the results, then your margin improvement cycle may be very slow. I think that is what everybody is trying to focus on, that from the reported 5% margin, what is the normalized? Is it 8-9% kind of a normalized number? I understand 13% would depend upon your operating leverage angle also. So if you can clarify that would be one thing.
Yes.
But, so, yeah.
I would say I tend to agree with you on that, but definitely, we should be able to improve from this position.
Yeah, the second question I had was this home textile business, Nestera business altogether in all forms. Since quite a few time now, when we have looked at that business, there are some of the other challenges. And even when we look at your current capacity and intended future potential capacity that you are looking at in the medium term, it is unlikely to be a big revenue contributor in overall scheme of things. Are there any second thoughts internally, given the kind of bandwidth that you are giving to that particular business and facing some of the other challenges? I understand that you have built up the business very hard, but does it require a relook the way you do business or whether the business is required to be done, especially when you are looking to premiumize your main business?
There are a couple of things in that. One is that this business may not be very high on the turnover, but this certainly creates value for the company, which we are looking at. And that is why we are investing management bandwidth as well as the money in that. So definitely based riding on Nestera as well, so we feel that this business can create value over the next 1 or 2 years.
No point. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. That's a follow-up question. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a question in terms of when you look at incremental capex, what are the return ratios you look at?
In case of debottlenecking, when we are looking at debottlenecking capex, we look at a return of almost a beta level of about 10 to 12%.
No. I'm not talking about from an EBITDA perspective, sir. I'm saying from a payback period angle.
What angle? Sorry.
From the payback period.
Payback period. We normally look at a payback period of depending on the the machine or something. We look at a payback period of anywhere between 5 years to 6 years.
5 to 6. But why would we invest in businesses with such extended payback periods?
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. We are not able to hear you clearly.
Payback periods of 5 to 6 years, why is it attractive for us to be investing in the businesses like that?
No, not in businesses. I am saying deep bottlenecking.
But isn't that just way too low return on like a capital employed?
Yeah, in case of textile industry, I think if you are having a payback period of anywhere between 4 to 6 years, that should be good enough because this is a long-term industry.
No, but I'm thinking 4 years and the 6 year difference is reasonably large, right, in terms of, I mean, the payback period. So the 4 years at least is reasonable, but if we're looking at the 6 years, because look, I think the issue has historically been is that I understand that obviously taking capital out of the business through the dividends and buyback is not like, you know, isn't it tax efficient? And everyone therefore is happy with 8-9% ROE given what the alternatives are, and it's reasonably safe. But from an external investor perspective, we want, ideally you would want either you return capital or then you invest in the projects where you would feel steady state ROC is going to be at least 16%, if not 18% and above, you know?
So, Mr. Gandhi, I think textile is not not so lucky to have that kind of return on equity. So, I think there is a traditional industry, and maybe the industry changes and the return on capital employed changes everything. So, that way you cannot compare 16% is an attractive number. I can tell you there are businesses where it is 25% or maybe 50%. So, there is no point comparing like this. But as far as the textile industry is concerned, I mean limiting the discussion with our context, I think we are in the we're in one of the good return generating companies in terms of the return on capital employed.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I'm not comparing to any other industry at all. I'm just comparing to what your cost of capital would ultimately be and be able to generate over and above that and to actually generate value. Because what I feel is that in the event that there are, you know, in the event it is fixed payback, why invest at all? Why not just return capital to shareholders at that time?
No, you are right. I mean, for the new project where we are increasing the capacity and all that, there, yes, we see ROC of more than 15%. Definitely, yes.
Okay, got it. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Hari Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Can you throw some light on the green fiber plant? Is it going on as planned, and what are the margins right now?
Yeah.
And the second question is regarding this. Is there any opportunity to enter into this technical textiles, like taking the government incentives, because it has been shown as the next growth sector and with higher margin? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Hari, for the questions. Number one, I speak something about the green fiber. This green fiber has been doing well for us over the last almost couple of quarters or so. In this quarter, we have done good, and we have been basically we have been getting two advantages of this. One, on the profitability side. Second, on our efficiencies on the spinning side as well. So talking on the profitability side, we have this quarter, I think we are in the EBITDA vicinity of almost 13.7 or 14%. So green fiber has done well, and we have been running quite efficiently, in the sense that on an average over the last quarter, our production per day has been to the extent of almost 122 tons against an installed capacity of 120 tons per day.
Okay.
And your second question was on
technical textiles.
That's another good sector which is opening up. And see, basically, as of now, we would like to consolidate on our adjusted category of product mix. Today, as a company, we have a product mix where we are basically on the dyed yarns, and sometimes we need some grey yarn as well on the various blends as well. So, for the moment, we are concentrating on that. On technical textile, it is still a growing sector, and there are certain regulations which we expect. I don't know, I mean, when these would come. And this is a not very big investment, but it requires a lot of, you know, gestation period to bring it up in the absence of regulations. So for the first instance, we are open to that. But for the first instance, we would like to be in the adjacent category of the dyed and the blended yarns.
And last question, sir, any plans for going into fiber rejuvenation, or like Purki Global as the technology, right? Fiber rejuvenation?
Fiber regeneration, you mean the recycling?
Yeah.
You mean the recycling from the consumer waste?
Yeah, right. Cotton waste, industrial waste.
Yeah. So we are spinning some sort of a recycled cotton as well, but we are not doing that recycling ourselves. We are outsourcing this fiber, recycled fiber, and as we build up on the, you know, the capacity to sell yarn and make yarn, then at that point in time, we will definitely consider this recycling of consumer waste as well. And that is the in thing now, and we are quite aware of that.
So thank you.
Welcome, Mr.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Updeep Singh, President and Chief Executive Officer, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. And I thank all ladies and gentlemen for joining this call and reposing faith in the company and asking very pertinent questions. And I hope that we should be able to do better in the coming quarters. And our entire team at Satluj Textiles, including our executive chairman and the entire board, we are behind it, and we are very sure that we will be able to better this performance which has been shown in this quarter. Thank you very much for joining, and all the best to you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Satluj Textiles and Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.